We will continue our series on the Bible declaring the whole counsel of God. We are in the book of Exodus. We have meditated upon two books fully, from the book of Genesis and Job, and we have started Exodus a couple of weeks ago. We have entered into the chapter 12. We kind of touched upon chapter 12. And also had a gist about the life of Moses. The life of Moses is 120 years, how it was divided into 40, 40, 40, as recorded by Stephen in the book of Acts chapter 7. The first 40 years of the life of Moses in Egypt, in the Pharaoh's kingdom. And also the second 40 years, he was in the Midian and the mountain. And then the third 40 years, he was given the responsibility to lead the congregation to come out of Egypt, and also the remaining 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Those are the things that we have looked at. Today we are going to continue from the book of Exodus, chapter 12 onwards. God willing, we will go up till 18th chapter, Exodus chapter 12 to 18. For today's portion, let us read from one of the New Testament portions taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, all together, please. This is trying to understand and declaring the whole counsel of God. What is the counsel of God? According to Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul the apostle was giving the word of God, sharing the word of God, and to be able to say, I did not stop declaring the whole counsel of God. Whether it is Old Testament or the New Testament, his focus was to be able to show forth the whole counsel of God. No wonder Apostle Paul mentioned this to the Corinthian church in chapter 10. We will read verses 1 through 4 altogether, please. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So here we see how Paul the apostle related the Old Testament to give the New Testament understanding. And that is the whole purpose of the Old Testament in our hands. Let's not be just those people who want to read the Old New Testament alone. There are many, many truths that we can learn because New Testament is referring to the Old Testament. Last time when we read through the first part of Egypt to Sinai, Mount Sinai, there was one verse that we read from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God was talking to Moses on Mount Horeb, also called Mount Sinai, the two names that are given to that mount. That Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, at the burning bush experience, God specifically said, I'm going to send you. And when you go, you are going to bring my people out of Egypt. Out of means exodus, exit. You know, the word exit, the way in which we see the words exit, meaning coming out. Out of Egypt, you will come back to this mountain. You shall serve God. In some of the English translations, it uses the word worship God on this mountain. So it is a plan of God. God's signs that were given in order to be able to fulfill his purposes. That is why we have entitled this as Egypt to Sinai. Coming out of Egypt, Exodus from Egypt to Sinai is the book of Exodus. The whole book of Exodus, if you want to look at it, it is Egypt to Sinai story. We might think, how about a Canaan brother? That is recorded in the other books of the Torah. The Pentateuch records it, and we are going to go there. But the book of Exodus is primarily from Egypt to Sinai. What is this Egypt? Egypt is a same name that is given even in today's world. There's a country called Egypt in the continent of Africa. I just picked up This next slide. This is a Google map. We are seeing only part of the map. The other side of this globe is the North America where we are. That is not seen because it's on the other side of the globe. So if you see here, this is the continent of Africa, the northern part of Africa. And you see the northeastern part on the top is the country of Egypt. We have Europe here, all the various countries of Europe, the Middle East, and also Asia, where you have the countries of India, Pakistan, China, and other countries as well. These are very, very, very well known. This is today's world map. And the biblical story is primarily centered upon the center of this particular picture that you see in the central portion. Almost if you try to have a picture of this thing, it is in the center. And you see the countries of Israel, Jordan, and the Saudi Arabia that is here, that is huge here. And there are other countries as well. But most of the biblical stories are in this particular area, the Israel and Jordan, and this particular pin. When I searched for Mount Sinai, Google Maps put that pin there and said that is the place called Sinai. It may not be very clear. Some of us may be trying to look our eyes to be able to see what is it. So let me zoom in. Let me zoom in a little for us to be able to see what we are talking about. The same Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and this is Egypt and the city of Cairo. Mediterranean Sea here at the Red Sea. Red Sea has two portions. Okay, so the same pin that I have given for Mount Sinai is this area. This area that is called traditional place of Mount Sinai. Some people try to point at some other places, but in and around this area itself is what the area of Sinai. This is called the Sinai Peninsula. Peninsula meaning there is water on three sides, and this area is called peninsula. The southern part of India is also called peninsula because there are seas around, water around Arabian Sea, Bay of Bengal, and Indian Ocean. That is called peninsula, right? So here also, this is called Sinai Peninsula. This is today's world map. But if you were to look at how the world looked like in terms of the names during the time of Exodus, most likely, this is how it would look like. Egypt, you have these various cities called Ramesses and Migdol, Sukkoth, Memphis, and all these places. This is Canaan, where they were ultimately going to go into. And here we see Sinai and Jebel Musa is today's name. If you want to know about that place in the Sinai Peninsula, it's called Jebel Musa, probably Moses, maybe Musa. And we see the Red Sea here, still here, and the land of Midian. So most likely somewhere around here is the land of Midian. And from Egypt, if the people were to travel, there were some highways that were created. Highways. I don't think they were as good as the interstate highways that we have. But they made some highways for the chariots to travel along. And so if we were to go towards the Philistia, which is up here somewhere beside Canaan, they have a highway that one can go all the way across the sea towards, you know, at the border of the sea, like the I-95 we have across the east coast. And I think, is it one on the west coast? Throughout the west coast, there's a interstate highway as well from south to north. Similarly, they had some highways that were built from this area called Goshen. People used to travel all along through different ways. Through this way, wilderness of Shur, wilderness of Sin, and all this. I just wanted to give you a mental picture of the geography that we are talking here so that we can have a better understanding. So Egypt is on the left side, Sinai is on the right side. Actually, it is actually coming down. And then there is going up. This is like a journey where they were going down and then going up. They could have gone straight as well. And we will see what we are talking about. Way to the land of Philistines. You see this dotted line? It says way to the land of Philistines. And that is the best way, the fastest way to be able to reach Canaan. That is how the picture that we see here. So that is why when we entitled this sermon as Egypt to Sinai, later Sinai to Canaan, we will study through it in the other books of the Pentateuch. So Egypt to Sinai is going down from left to right. And we have already meditated the first 11 chapters of Exodus. And even in that, we have meditated upon Egypt to Sinai. And just want to give you a gist of what we have learned. If you see here, the first time there was a travel from Egypt to Sinai in the book of Exodus is Moses alone. Moses alone. He flees from Egypt to Midian to Mount Sinai. When he kills one of the Egyptians and then tells one of the Israelites that, hey, you are brothers, why do you fight against? And one of the Israelites says, are you trying to be a ruler over us? Will you kill us just like you killed the Egyptian? So he wanted to take up that leadership position in order to deliver his own people, Israelites, by killing the Egyptians, etc. And that was not the way God intended him to be. So Moses, who felt he was something, had to become nothing when he was brought out of Egypt to Sinai. And that is his first visit. God made Moses to have that first travel. And then, while he was at the mountain, in Exodus chapter 3, at the burning bush, when Moses was giving excuses upon excuses, because he was afraid to go back to Egypt, God said, your brother Aaron will be with you. And God made Aaron to travel from Egypt in order to be able to meet Moses in chapter 4. So he might have come to pass through that Sinai Peninsula and all those places. So Aaron also came, Moses and Aaron. And now God prepared both of them and sent them back to Egypt. And how they were involved in speaking to the Pharaoh, speaking to the Israelites, trying to tell them that God is making a plan to let you come out of Egypt. Initially, the people of Israel did not believe. And later, when they saw the signs, even for that matter, Pharaoh also did not believe till the 10th plague came into existence. So for the first 11, from chapter 5 to 11, that was a story we see in Egypt. And today we are going to focus on the last arrow, where for one last time, Moses and Aaron will come along with the whole set of the Israelites. Actually, they were a mixed multitude, the Bible says. Because they intermarried and some people really wanted to come out, etc. They took the opportunity to come out of the land of Egypt. And that is what 12 to 18 is. So have your Bibles open, please. It is important for us to look into the Word of God. As you look into the Word of God, let us try to understand some of the important principles that we can see. We are going to go to Exodus chapter 12. Though we touched upon it, I want us to look at it carefully because this is something very important to note. Here we see in verse 2. Notice this very carefully. Maybe verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. All this while, there were some calendars. There were some calendars that existed till chapter 11 of Exodus. That is one set of a calendar. Now, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, God is specifically telling, this month will be the beginning of the months for you. This is going to be like the January of the month for you. This is the new year for you. Your years would begin from this month onwards. This is probably the first day of the month. Wait till the 10th day of the month, verse 3. And each one of you take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. And he talks about the lamb that is needed. The lamb could be of a sheep or a goat in verse 5. The little sheep or a little goat is called a lamb. That's what it says in verse 5 towards the end. And in verse 5, he says, your lamb shall be an unblemished male a year old. And then in verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. By the way, this month is called the month of Abib or Aviv. There's another name that is given to it, which is called the month of Nisan. Not the brand. Again, we're talking about the brand. It is only one S in Nisan. So the month of Abib or month of Nisan is the same month. Don't get confused. If you read the Bible, it might use interchangeably, but it is the same month we are talking about, month of Abib or month of Nisan. And on this month, on the 14th day, till the 14th day, you will keep that lamb with you. And on the 14th day, you are to sacrifice that lamb. And you need to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses in which they shall eat it. So we see here this particular story, which is the beginning of a new life for the people of Israel. It is the beginning, first month of a new life for the people of Israel. Note this very carefully. Spiritually speaking, this particular chapter talks about a new beginning in the life of a believer. It is a beginning. The beginnings are very essential. You just can't go to the next years without the first year. When you say second year, that means you have passed through the first year. So you need to have a beginning. And that beginning is a new beginning. And this particular chapter talks about that new beginning. Spiritually speaking, this Old Testament stories talk about some spiritual lessons, and our spiritual life begins with the story of the Passover. Please note it down. Passover, chapters 12 and first portion of chapter 13 talk about two things. In verse 5 it says, a lamb shall be unblemished, and the blood of that lamb should be used to put on the doorpost. It's unblemished blood. It's the blood of an unblemished lamb, in other words. No spot. The blood of that particular unblemished lamb, I tried to put both of them together and called it unblemished blood. And also, here he says that they need to also use an unleavened bread. In verse 14 and 15, he talks about a bread that is unleavened. This story of Passover has two elements to it. Unblemished blood and unleavened bread. These two are essential elements of this particular story of the Passover. And God says, this is the beginning of your spiritual life. The beginning of your spiritual life will be in this manner. To be able to recognize the Passover. That instead of you, there is a lamb that is going to be sacrificed. That lamb which is unblemished, unspotted. First Peter also talks about that the blood that is an unblemished blood of Lord Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for us. He is that Passover lamb. And the bread which is unleavened. They have to utilize these two in order to be able to have God's purposes fulfilled. And you know the story where it clearly says that God is going to use this. Verse 13 of this Exodus chapter 12, it says, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses. The blood shall be a sign for you. Many times people have this question, in what way is the blood of Lord Jesus Christ going to redeem me? How can the blood of Jesus Christ redeem me? This is because God fulfilled Exodus chapter 12 through Jesus Christ. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no redemption. There has to be shedding of blood, and that blood has to be seen outwardly. Outwardly, you just can't say that, yes, I have killed the blood, I'll keep the blood inside my house. No, it has to be visibly seen externally. It requires the strength to be able to put it out. The blood, the way in which he put the blood, the two posts, vertical and horizontal, how Jesus Christ died on that pole where there was a horizontal and a vertical wood on which he shed his precious blood. That is the beginning of one's new life experience. That experience, personal experience, to be able to have it in front of your house. That is what it should be, to be visibly known. And God's word is very clear. Let us see in chapter 12 or verse 27. We are going to keep jumping some verses in order to be able to understand the whole picture here in verse 27. You shall say in verse 26, when your children say to you, what does this right mean to you? God has already said, even before he redeemed the people, he said, you have to do this and you have to do this every year. You have to do this every year in remembrance of me. He did not do it yet. Still, he gave this ordinance ahead that you need to obey this because I am going to do it. Didn't Jesus do the same thing on the Last Supper? Even before he died on the cross, he said, this is my body. This is my blood. The blood and the bread that is set before us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. You remember me as often as is possible. Remember me. Jesus set that ordinance even before he died on the cross. Similarly, here, God set this ordinance in the Old Testament even before the actual redemption happened. At a later point of time, we see here. And God says, verse 26, when your children say to you, what does this mean? You must say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the house of sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians. And you know, and at midnight, God comes down to deliver the people of Israel. God comes down to deliver the people of Israel. Just keep your finger there, Exodus chapter 12, and look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Notice this carefully. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. Notice this, verse 8. I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. I have come down. How did God come down? Though he used Moses all these chapters, now the Lord has come down to deliver the people of Israel. God used Moses, but when it came to the actual redemption, God himself did it. Do you see that? God came down in the form of the angel of death, who came and passed over those houses who had the blood on their doorposts. And that's how the people of Israel were redeemed. In other words, they were not punished, but instead, because of the blood, they were delivered. And that is what we see here, that in this particular portion, all of them had come out. And here we see here also, in verse 33, the Egyptians urged the people and sent them out of the land in haste. Please, please, please go, get out of here. All this while they were holding on. Pharaoh was holding on. Along with the Egyptians, they were holding on to these people of Israel. These people of Israel were in the bondage. In spiritual sense, these people were in a spiritual, sinful bondage in the clutches of Satan and his demons. And God had come to redeem them out of the hands of these people. And that God only did it. And through that Passover lamb, God enabled these people to be delivered out of the hands of Egypt. And we see here that these people were sent out. Please go, get out from my people in verse 31. He called, Pharaoh said, get out of my people. So now, the moment we see the redemption of God, Satan has no hold over his people. Satan cannot have hold on his people because now the people are in the hands of God. You are either in the hands of the devil or you're in the hands of God. That is what it is, period. You are either in the bondage in sin or you are freed from the bondage of sin to serve the living God. Either you are a servant of sin or you are a servant of God. There is no middle ground here. And we see here that God enabled these people to come out. And when they came out, we see in verse 37, sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. So people try to multiply it by four. Usually the men are those who are 20 years plus. So there could be younger ones like children, women, and many others added together. They tried to multiply, you multiply by three or four, we don't know. But at least the men themselves were 600,000 men on foot. And they were a mixed multitude also. There were people who were mixed multitude in verse 38. They all went up. And we see here that they lived, to be more precise, around 400 years is what typically we talk about. To be more precise, in verse 40, they say the time the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. They may not have been in bondage, because initially the years that they were is under the leadership of Joseph. So they would have been enjoying under the leadership of Joseph. But after Joseph died, a Pharaoh came who did not know Joseph, and they were put into bondage. So altogether, the years that they lived were 430 years. And here we see also the ordinance of Passover, that it is very clear, my dear. Verse 43, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Verse 43, no foreigner is to eat of it. No foreigner is to eat of it. No alien is to eat of it. Exodus 12, 43. When we bring forth the table of the Lord, remembering the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for us, and the body that was given for us, the bread and the cup that is set before us, we say this is only for those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's not that you can give it to anyone. They have to personally have the experience of redemption in their lives. And anyone who is not having that experience is termed as alien or a foreigner. So you just cannot take part in it unless you have that personal experience of redemption. Also we see in verse 48, chapter 12 and verse 48, if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Let him come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat of it. No foreigner may eat of it. No uncircumcised person. Again, in the New Testament, the circumcision is talking about the baptism experience as well. Circumcision and baptism are related. So that is why you might hear some people asking, are you baptized? More than anything, are you redeemed is the most important one. Are you redeemed? But if you are redeemed, why don't you experience the external form of baptism? That will give you a complete experience of a spiritual life. No foreigner shall eat of it. No uncircumcised person in verse 48 may eat of it. That is why we want to encourage those who say that they are born again to express this out externally as well. They could have said that, yeah, I have taken it, big deal. But God's clear instructions in the Old Testament was that they should be circumcised. And the New Testament circumcision is the relationship that matters to. It is compared to baptism. So we see here how this story goes on and on in terms of certain ordinances God has already started giving. They haven't reached Sinai. They haven't received the law yet. But God started giving instructions as to what they should do. And that is what we see here in chapter 13 also, how they should consecrate the firstborn child and everything that is being talked about, that you should share it with your children, your experience. Verse 8, notice this carefully. Shall we all read Exodus chapter 13 and verse 8? You shall tell your son on that day, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This is a personal experience. Me, when I came out of Egypt. Your experiences have to be shared with your children. When your children ask you, why is this bread and the cup? Why shouldn't I take it? Why should only you take it? Some people don't care. They don't consider the sanctity of the table that is set before us. Why? You make sure when your children asks you for this, tell them that you also need to have that personal experience of redemption through Lord Jesus Christ. Take that opportunity and give your personal testimony. This is what Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. When I read this, God really made me realize that it should be a personal experience. It's not a matter of the whole people of Israel coming out. It is per person. Each person should have their personal experience. God brought me out of the land of Egypt. That is why I'm following this ordinances that are set before me. So Passover is the first day on the 14th day. And for 7 days, they need to eat off the unleavened bread. So 14th day till 21st day. That is called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread starts with the Feast of Passover on the 14th day of the month of Aviv or Nisan. So up till 7 days, they will keep on having it and gather together as God's children, and they have to remember it. Now I want us to go into the next portion, which is the presence. From Passover to presence. When you experience the redemption of God, when you remember the blood that was shed and put on the doorpost, when you have that bread, you also remember that your spiritual life has begun. Your redemption not only has happened, but the presence of God is with you. Exodus chapter 13, the second portion, we see here that Satan in verse 7, Pharaoh, he says here that, verse 17, let me take you through that. Exodus chapter 13, 17 onwards. When Pharaoh had let the people go, like Satan let these people get out of his hands into the hands of God, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Remember that picture that I showed you? The fastest way to go to Canaan? God did not lead them, even though it was near. I want to bring some attention to each one of us here. God could have taken the people to the shortest way, but God did not let them go through, though it was near. Logically speaking, makes more sense to pass through that way, but God did not lead them. God is a God who not only leads us, but he's also a God who does not lead us through certain directions, certain paths. You might question, but God has a plan. A near, short distance, 3-day journey, whatever number of days it might take to go from Egypt to Canaan, God did not lead them. When I read this, I had to stop there and think about the fact that God sometimes does not lead the way I would expect to be led by. Very important. Very important lessons to learn. God, though it was near, that is something. God, this is so nearby. Why are you letting me go through that far way? It is not about the distance, but it is about God's leading the path is more important. His presence is needed. If you had gone, if these people have gone through the way of the Philistines, God's presence might not have been met, and they would have been affected by the enemy. But God did not lead them. And verse 18, God led the people around by the way of wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. And then they bring the bones of Joseph. Wonderfully, you know what Joseph has said in the last chapter of Genesis. Take my bones because God is going to take care of you. That's what Joseph says. God will surely take care of you in verse 19. You shall carry my bones from here with you. They remembered the words of Joseph. They remembered the request of Joseph to carry his bones back to Canaan, because Joseph's heart was in Canaan. Though he lived in Egypt, he was sold to Egypt, he knew that one day his descendants will go back to Canaan. At that time, he wanted his bones to be taken as well. Verse 21, notice this carefully. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way. Going before them. Notice this carefully. God is a God who goes before us. Don't think that you are going in a way of wilderness, not knowing where the direction is. God has already in front of you. He went before. So God has been there, so you can go confidently with the fact that I'm following the Lord. In the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, to give them light so that they might travel by day and by night. God's expectation is that we need to travel both by day and by night. Our spiritual journey began at Passover. The beginning of our life, the first month has started off. 14th day has happened. That 15th day, early in the morning, they started leaving. And while they are leaving, we see that day and night, God wanted these people to know that His presence is there. In the daylight of your life, in the darkness of your life, God is saying, I am with you. I am giving you light in the darkness of your life. Maybe you are going through a darkness where you don't know what is there ahead of you. Remember, there is a pillar of fire to take you by night. And we see here verse 22. It was not something that came up and went by. Verse 52. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before his people. That is the greatest promise that we can have. The redeemed people, God is with you. The presence of God with His redeemed people. You begin your journey, you will see the presence of God with you day and night. Spiritual life begins at redemption, at the cross. The spiritual life begins. Remember, it is not about anything else other than at the cross. Somebody died for me, shed His precious blood for me on the cross, none other than Jesus Christ. My spiritual life begins there because I believe in this God. Just like in the Old Testament, they put that blood. We, by faith, remember that fact that He has the one whose blood, His blood cleanses me from all sin. That's my spiritual journey. The moment you have that experience, His presence is with you. Now let's look at the next box. For that, I want us to read Exodus chapter 15, verse 16. All of us together, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 16. Let's all read this as it is projected. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. I looked at all the English translations, the major translations. In all those translations, it uses the word pass over. So please note it down. Pass over. The first box, one word, Passover. What God has done. His presence. Now He is leading His people to pass over. Chapter 14 and the first part of chapter 15 is the Passover. Some English translations in other places, like Hebrews and other places, it says they pass through. They pass through the sea. But in this particular verse, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 16, it is a song where they say, until your people pass over, O Lord, until your people pass over. Exodus chapter 14, we see the story where these people come out of the land of Egypt. God was taking them through the wilderness, not through the regular way, but the far way. And when He was leading them through the wilderness, they came up near the sea. They were standing in front of the sea. And Pharaoh tried to come behind them. Let me tell you, Satan, even after we are redeemed, he still tries to come back. Pharaoh, he said, I will let your people go. And the moment he let the people go, when they were redeemed, they were coming out. And the first stop was at the sea. Pharaoh's heart changed and he said, how could we? Let us go back. Spiritual life also. When you have the experience of redemption from Lord Jesus Christ, when you feel the redemption of Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, you might say, Satan will immediately come by. Hey, what did I do? Come on, let's go back and try to bring them back. Let's try to get these people back into our fold. That is what spiritual warfare is. Satan is behind God's people to bring them back, to take them back. My dear, that is the kind of experience sometimes we have. And I want us to see here as to how these people of Israel went through this. These people were just started their spiritual journey. Their experience of redemption just happened. They are more like babes, if I may, in their spiritual journey. Just one day, 14th day in the night, in the midnight, God redeemed them. They came out. They are in the 15th day. On the 15th day, they were standing in front of the sea. The next day, it says here. And they were standing in front of the sea. And the moment they see here, we notice the people were afraid. Why? Because Pharaoh started following them. There's a sea in front. There's a chariots on the back. They did not know what to do. Spiritually also, the moment we experience the redemption of God and the presence of God, when we look aside, when our eyes are not focused on God and look at the other things, just like Peter was trying to walk on water, looking at Jesus, suddenly he saw the storms around and he tried to drown. Similarly, we see here that these people saw. These people saw. And we see here, verse 10, Exodus 14:10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked. See, by sight, they were looking at it, at these people. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. Satan tries to cause fear. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. You know what kind of a cry that is? I don't know if it is a cry or outcry. There's a difference between cry and outcry. Outcry is more like a complaint. It says they cried out to the Lord, but in verse 11 they say, then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken away and to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? The moment we go through trials in our lives because of the effect of Satan, we tend to question God, did I really make the right decision to come out of the land of Egypt? Did I make the right thing to be able to be redeemed by God? I should have stayed back in Egypt. Things would have been better off to be in bondage. When they were in bondage, they were crying out to the Lord. When they came out also, they were crying out to the Lord saying, we should have been back. Such is the kind of a nature of those sometimes who called themselves as redeemed of the Lord, complaining when we have problems. Let me tell you, Egyptian chariots, they may be coming, the sound may be there. But remember one thing. As Moses said in verse 13, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish you for today. For you today, the Egyptians, now you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. What a great promise that is. The Egyptians, the satanic forces that are causing fear in your life, you stand still and see the salvation of God. Somebody said in these words, hold, be still and behold. Yeah, that's how. Be still and behold. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know the word salvation of the Lord? Salvation of the Lord is the Lord who saves. Yeshua. See Yeshua. See the Yeshua. Stand still and see the Yeshua. What a wonderful God we have. You see him. Just see him, my dear. You don't need to do anything. Don't look at the problem. Look at the one who is able to deliver you. The one who died for you on the cross. Have your eyes upon him. See the salvation of the Lord. See the Yeshua. What a wonderful way in which Moses is telling them. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. That Yeshua will fight for you to save you. The one who died for you, who gave the redemption for you, he's the one who will save you as well. The Lord will fight for you. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. The moment you experience the redemption of God, from that day onwards, that midnight onwards, when you have troubles in your life, your goal is to move forward. Your desire is to move forward. Go forward, my dear. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That is how God makes his people to be not only redeemed, but to move on. Move on. There is an enemy. Don't worry. The Lord will fight for you. You go forward. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. What a wonderful God we have. And you know the story after that. Wonderfully we see that these people were able to move forward. How did they move forward? Enemy behind. But the sea in front, God separated the sea. When God told Moses to lift up his staff, stretch out his hand, God separated it out. God delivered the people out of the land of Egypt. He came down and delivered them. God's presence was with them. God separated. And before we see here, there's something that I want us to look at in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. Can we all read this together? Exodus 14, 19. The angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. The God who was ahead of them, his presence was before them when they were walking wonderfully. Oh, wonderful God, you have redeemed us out of the land of Egypt. At that time, God is in front. When you have trouble, God takes complete turn. Who was before you, he came behind. Wonderfully, we see here that the pillar of cloud went behind. Why? Verse 20. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. God became in the middle, came in the middle of the enemy. The enemy was behind the people of Israel. God did not say, keep going, move forward. He said, I'm going to be behind you. I will be between you. If anything happens, they first need to cross me before they cross to you. What a wonderful God we have. He becomes the center. He mediates in between, in other words. He's in between. He took all the responsibility to be in between the two camps. What a wonderful God we have. And that enabled the people of Egypt, the chariots of Egypt, to be defeated. And that is what I want us to be carefully looking at here. Something that you can understand about the way in which God did it here. Wow, there's so much that we can see how God was working through these people in the second half of chapter 14, that every moment of time, actually there is one verse, verse 25, Exodus 14, 25, he caused their chariot wheels to swerve. God enabled the wheels, the tires, wheel alignment to be affected so that they made them drive with difficulty. You see how God caused problems to the enemy so that he can protect his people. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. That is how they came out of the problems that they had when they crossed the Red Sea. The immediate next thing that happened after being redeemed through the Passover experience is to experience the presence of God and to pass over through the Red Sea. They did not wait. They moved forward, my dear. Many times we tend to stand near the Red Sea, waiting. God is saying, move forward. Move forward because I am the one who is going to separate the Red Sea. Move forward. And when they moved forward, wonderfully, God has totally taken away the Egyptians from the eyes of Israelites. That resulted in praising and worshiping the Lord in chapter 15, the song of Moses. And wonderfully he says, I will sing to the Lord. When we sing songs, we need to sing to the Lord. When I was reading through it, I realized it again to the fact that we're not singing to the people. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider went into the sea. There are wonderful songs. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song has now become my victory. The Lord is God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. People made songs out of this. Exodus chapter 15. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song has now become my victory. What a wonderful God he is. He is the one whom I have to praise. The ones who had been redeemed, have been experiencing the presence of God, crossing the Red Sea, can sing along with Moses, can worship God along with Moses. And the same song of Moses is later sung in Revelation as well. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, talking about certain things. The song of Moses was sung at the Red Sea. The song of the Lamb is sung at the Crystal Sea in the book of Revelation. The song of Moses was a song of triumph over Egypt. The song of the Lamb is a song of triumph over Babylon. The song of Moses told how God brought his people out. The song of Lamb tells how God brings his people in. The song of Moses was the first song in Scripture. The song of the Lamb is the last. The song of Moses commemorated the execution of the foe or the enemy, the expectation of the saints, and the exaltation of the Lord. The song of the Lamb deals with the same three themes: the execution of the enemy, the expectation of the saints, and the exaltation of the Lord. That is how, if you want to, you can read through this song of Moses. And later, his sister Miriam also sings this particular song. That is how the Lord led them cross or pass over. I'll stop here again. In the interest of time as well, we will stop here. Exodus chapter 12 through 15a is where we will stop till verse 21, and we'll pick up the story after it as well. I want us to look at some of the scriptural portions here. And in this scriptural portion, there is something that I wanted you to understand. This Exodus is being referred to in almost most of the portion of the Bible after that. Everywhere. Yesterday we were having family prayer from the book of Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel, in his prayer, he says, you brought our fathers out of Egypt. Daniel, after so many years, he remembers this story. The book of Exodus is the beginning of the nation of Israel, the redeemed nation of Israel. Similarly, in a spiritual sense, you and I need to experience the beginning of our lives. And that beginning of our lives is what I want us to be able to carefully look out, that God is the one who is enabling us to come out of the land of Egypt, or the bondage of Egypt. I want us to look at one verse, interestingly, I came across in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 talks about a particular story when Jesus went with his disciples to a mountain. And in this mountain, this is called the Mount of Transfiguration. And we see here that Jesus goes with Peter, James, and John in verse 28. And then while they were praying, the appearance of Jesus Christ changed. And there were two other people in verse 30. Behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. His departure. Just as much as Moses is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, just as much as Moses had his departure from the land of Egypt, they were discussing about the departure when Jesus was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. The word departure in Greek is Exodus. And they must be talking, hey, Moses, how was your experience when you came out of the land of Egypt? I am here to bring my people when I am going to die on the cross of Calvary very soon. This is going to be my Exodus. You led the people of Israel in the Old Testament. I am going to lead my people out of the bondage of sin. Talking about the Exodus story from Jesus' perspective, talking about his departure, his Exodus. Somebody said, Exodus was the second great act of creation in the Pentateuch. Exodus was the second great act of creation in the Pentateuch. The first is in the book of Genesis. That is regular creation, recreation through Noah and all that. But Exodus is a new creation, a new life through the redemption that we see. And it also says, Exodus was a deliverance brought about by God's grace and not as a result of Israel's good works or law-keeping. God saved them, delivered them himself from the land of Egypt. And that is what you and I need to be able to recognize, that this Exodus is but that particular story. Quickly, I want us to read this verse once again. That is in our sermon notes. Let's all read this together. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We'll stop there because we didn't finish the remaining portion. We'll pick it up, God willing, next week. Verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Crossing of the Red Sea is a symbolism of baptism. Passover is a symbolism of redemption. On the 14th day, they had the experience of redemption. On the 15th day, they had the experience of crossing of the Red Sea. There was no much gap in between. When they had that experience of the fact that I have really come out of the land of Egypt, I went through the Red Sea as well. I need to go through the Red Sea. Have you had that experience yet, my dear? Have you had the Passover experience in your life? I'm asking you with a humble heart. I'm not asking you whether you know the scriptures or not. I'm asking you whether you personally have experienced Jesus Christ in your life. That he died for you on the cross. He took the punishment. He became the Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb of God. All you needed to do is, by faith, apply that blood to know that the blood of Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all sin. Otherwise, maybe today is the day then when you can take that step forward. And for those who have that experience, how long will you be at the sea? God is saying, go forward. God wants you, let you go through the Red Sea. Baptism experience is essential for those who have personally had the redemptive experience of Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. These are essential. Beginning of your spiritual life is the redemptive work of Lord Jesus Christ experience and baptism experience. Many people are still on the 14th day only, saying that I'm born again. Maybe you need to question yourself whether you're really born again or not. Because the next step is to move forward. Even if Satan is causing you trouble, God is saying, go through. I will be with you. I'll be behind you. So that the enemy will not attack you. I will let you go. You go through. I don't know how they passed through that Red Sea, but they knew that God was behind them. So they were confidently going through the Red Sea. Witness in water baptism, my dear. We want to arrange baptism classes. So that we can encourage you if you don't have that assurance of salvation. Take that step forward. And that becomes your journey with the Lord. Those are the two steps. There is more that we can learn, but we'll stop here. And may the Lord enable us, because Exodus book is one of the most important books in the Bible, which is being referred to. Almost many of the books of the Bible refer to it, including the book of Psalms. And we can understand our spiritual life from that. So let us thank the Lord for Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Passover Lamb, who gave his life for you and I. That unblemished blood of Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us, spotless blood of Lord Jesus Christ, and the bread that we are going to take, may they be a symbolism of the redemption of Lord Jesus Christ. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. May the Lord bless this word.